What is up, podcast people? Welcome to another episode of Our Stranded Podcast. Hope you are doing well today. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube right now, you probably noticed something a little bit different. Let us know how you feel about it. We're just switching it up a little bit, and we're sitting in couches because they're a lot more comfier than the swivel chairs, and they don't squeak. Kayla, how does your couch feel?
It feels good. I normally, if you watch me on the podcast, I sit crisscross on a swivel chair, so I have more room.
It is pretty impressive watching me crisscross applesauce in a chair. I'm not that flexible, so I don't know if I can do that.
I'm so comfortable.
Are you comfortable or are you like nervous?
I'm comfortable. I don't know. This setup makes me feel interrogated, but you like it.
I'm just like the comfort. It feels like we're just in a living
room. I feel
room.
Like I'm back in therapy.
Feels like we're the only one here. You know, it's like we're the only ones in this room with four cameras pointing at us.
Oh, yeah.
No big deal. Don't sweat. Don't get nervous. Well, let's do it. Well, hey, I'm Josh. This is Kayla. And we are talking about today. What are we talking about today, Kayla?
How much engagement sucks.
How much engagement sucks. Like being engaged, right? Yeah. Relational status of engagement. And just what's...
Not how much it sucks. What we don't like.
Yeah. The hardest parts about being engaged. So we have been engaged. How long have you and I been engaged? Today is March 27th. So
we're about to go 2 months.
So we're coming up. We're about a week away from 2 months of being engaged. And we get married in 124 days.
Ding, ding, ding.
124 days. Do I get double points for knowing both of those?
Yeah.
Thank you. So we've been engaged, coming up on 2 months and getting married in 124 days, a couple months away, about 4 or 5 months away. So just in this 2 months of being engaged, we're just going to talk through what has been the hardest part about being engaged with somebody, and just maybe some encouragement to people listening out there. Like if you're dating, about to get engaged, if you're engaged right now, maybe you can share the burden of knowing, hey, I'm not the only one going through this right now. Or, hey, if you're single right now and you just need to write this down right now. So when you do get engaged, Lord willing, then, you know, like, hey, be on the lookout for whatever we're about to say in these next 26 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? Do I have immunity for the next 20 something minutes? Like, what if I say something and then after we turn off the cameras, you're like, Josh,
this is like the tape we submit to premarital. I was like,
do I have immunity for the next 26 seconds?
The hardest part is carrying around my hand from my round skin.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a burden. That ring is holding your hand down.
I know. It's just so heavy.
All right. I'll go first. Hardest part about being engaged. I'm pretty sure we agree on this one.
Yeah.
Is leaving at night.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks. Like, because I can see so easily how quickly somebody could just spend the night. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, it's getting late outside. It's dark. It's rainy. I'm tired. Let's just lay here, watch a movie, and then you wake up, and it's like 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. We haven't done that. But I can see how easily it is to do that.
Yeah.
And just leaving at night sucks. Like, every night or however long we hang out, it's like, oh, hey, I have to go or you have to go, and it's like, I just want
to
sleep.
And you're already
here.
Tired to drive.
Uh-huh.
And we could, you know,
it's
tires.
Like, well, when we're married, I can just sleep here. I don't have to go home anymore. This is great.
I know. That's like the number one thing that we say that like we're excited for marriage is like
not having to leave
not
at
having
night.
To drive home at night is like the number one on the list.
That,
of, like,
that part's not fun. Leaving at night and having the discipline to leave at night. Because it seriously can.
Yeah.
Putting myself in non-Christian shoes for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where sleepovers happen so quickly, right? And hooking up happens so quickly. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, I'm tired. You're tired. It's raining outside. Let's just fall asleep here. Here, just lay in my bed. It's okay. Like, from the outside looking in, that sounds like red flag, red flag, red flag. But being in it right now, I can see how quick that slope
so
can
comfy.
Go. Right? You're just so comfy and you just want to be with that person. And your mind already knows you're going to get married. You've already locked that in. So I can see how slippery that slope is. I would encourage you guys, don't have sleepovers.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I think it's good that we put the immediate no, though. It's not like a maybe or whatever. It's like, no.
For sure.
And yours was like, early on in dating, it was like 10 p.m., I'm out. You would like dip out.
Well, we moved up that time. I mean, early on, it was like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was football. It was football season, and Thursday night football, Monday night football ended at like around 11 o'clock. So I was like, well, once the game's over, I'm out. But then after football season, I'm like, oh, 10:30 is a better time. 10 o'clock's a better time. So slowly, the harder the temptation grows, the more we move up that time.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to dip.
that and you save less, or you save more tires leaving.
Yeah.
I think we should mention that
part
one
is
again.
Not funny about being engaged, just popping a tire. I did pop a tire driving to her apartment.
My favorite part about being engaged, let me add this part, is like the we sentences. When it's ironic how when I pop a curb, it was like I pop the curb, but when Josh popped the curb, he was like, we need a new tire. Right.
We popped a curb.
Yeah, we popped a curb. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we did, you know? So.
And we had to pay $300 to buy a new tire.
I guess that brings up the next part about what is annoying about engagement is like the financial aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're open financially, we know like each other's finances, but now like paying for things, it's still like, oh, you get this and then I get this, or like you plan this date and you pay for this date, and I don't like it. Like, I can't wait until like,
well, also we're saving up money for the wedding, for, you know, life, living together, life,
house.
So it's like, no matter if I pay for it or you pay for it, we're both taking away from the same goal of saving up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, bummer.
But our accounts are still separate though. Mm-hmm. So it's still like the, like who pays their card this time, or like things
you
like
that.
You
know, actually here, I'll release all the burden. And from this day forth, for the next 124 days, you can pay for it all. I don't want you to stress out. I don't want you to stress out about that anymore, Kayla. I love you so much that I don't want you to stress out about
I'll
paying
carry
for
that
things.
Burden.
So you can carry the burden of paying for everything.
Oh no,
she said finances being a hard part about being engaged.
Well, yeah, it's just because they're so like, it's just like everything about being engaged though is like the plan for it, but don't do it yet, you know? And so like that's literally everything. It's like combining the finances, like the spiritual intimacy, like all of it is literally just like, well, make sure you're ready for it, but don't do it right now. And that's engagement in a nutshell.
It is reminding yourself that you're not married. Mm-hmm. You got to keep reminding yourself, like, you want to get ready to get married, prepare yourself to get married, to live with somebody from all those aspects, but you're not married. Mm-hmm. So you're not doing those things. So it is weird, like going up and building that fence, building, going right up to that line. But like, hey, we're not married, so our finances aren't combined, or we're not having sleepovers and spending the night. So that part is a little weird.
Yeah.
But it's also joyful at the same time, like being able to plan those moments.
Yeah. What's the other part of engagement?
The next part, and this is dating and engagement.
I already know. I'm going to pick up my shoe and throw it.
I can't wait until this no longer exists. But good morning and good night text, I just struggle with those.
Let me preface. I'm the one that always has to ask questions if you can't tell. Mm-hmm. And so Josh will be sitting on the couch just watching whatever. And I like to talk. And he'll always be like, I can't focus on two things. But I'll always find like these like list of random questions to ask. And so one of them was like, what's something that you didn't like at first in dating or whatever, but you've grown to like? And I asked Josh this, and he immediately was like, good morning, good night text.
Oh my gosh.
Elaborate, Joshua.
Well, because I was like, when we first started dating, I was like, the first thing that I do, or let me run this back. If the first thing that I do is not pick up my phone and send a good morning text message, then we're already starting the day off bad.
Then we're breaking up.
And that's just not the first thing I do when I wake up. Or even like, I may physically be awake, but I'm still waking up. So like seeing a bright screen and like, or just having the mental comprehension to form a text message, like it's just not, it's not there until about 2 hours after I wake up. Or also like good night messages. Like if I accidentally fall asleep without sending good night,
The world's ending.
Even though somebody else does that, but the world doesn't end apparently. So I would say for me, I can't wait to be married and no longer have to send good morning, good night. I can just roll over and be like, hey, good morning. Oh, hey, good night.
I love the good morning text. That's something I had to get used to in dating, is the whole, and I hope you, if you can't watch this, I just eye rolled to the heavens and back. Just
eye rolled to the heavens and back. That's
a
phrase right there.
Biggest eye roll in the world. Understanding that Josh doesn't know what he doesn't know, and like coming from
that's just guys in general.
Yeah, but coming from like both of our like our backgrounds and like being in relationships, man did not know that you say good morning. It'd be like 12, and he'd be like, hey. And I'd be like, do you like me? Because I'm like, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm already like panicking. I'm like,
I just took a shower. This is great.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, I go to work early. I'm like ready to go like 6, 7 a.m. And he's like, it's like 12, 1 p.m. And he'd just be like, hey. And I'd be like, oh my. So that's the part is like, I didn't like. And this is a good thing though. And you should get used to it, is like coming from their brain and their past and understanding like the motives or the reasonings behind them. I hated it because I was like, just tell me good morning and that I'm the most amazing person ever at 5 a.m. You know, yeah. Like, start the morning off well, you know. So what he did not enjoy, I enjoy greatly. What's your...
My next one?
Mm-hmm.
So you said finances. I said good morning, good night text, leaving at night. Another part about engagement.
Wedding planning tip, just elope.
I mean, and our wedding is not even that crazy.
Oh my, I don't know how people do, this should just be a podcast of like, I don't know, because I don't know how people do like the 1 year, 2 year engagement, oh, wedding planning
we
stuff.
Think so. We're only February, March, April, May, June, July. We'll be engaged for, by the time of our wedding, we'd be engaged for 6 months.
Yeah, our engagement's longer like an eternity, than our dating.
Just from like planning stuff out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know why people would do a 1, 2, or 3 year engagement. Like, that sounds like torture.
Yeah. Oh, that's something. Engagement.
Torturing?
No.
Oh.
Oh, my. That's something in an engagement is our differences in, like, people-pleasing. I'm a very people-pleasing, worried what other people think, and Josh is very cutthroat. And so we'll just touch base on guest lists. He's very quick to be like, remove, and I'm like, no, stop, don't, like, let me handle this. And it's like
the ruthlessness of planning a wedding, having to trim down a guest list.
I'm like, no, let them in, it's fine.
I know, right? You can still love the person and them not be invited.
Can we put that on a t-shirt?
So sorry guys, if you're listening to this right now and you got removed from the guest list.
No, we love you, stop.
We love you so much. And just one day you'll understand the reality of a certain budget and only allowing a certain amount of people.
Yeah, I even put in the thing.
And in your
like,
heart, you want everybody to be there and you want to feed everybody.
Well, I put in the notes. I'm like, it's tough out there. We love you.
That the love is there.
Like,
we're
doing Bojangles as our wedding food. Like,
amen to that.
We're trying our best.
I would say a hard part about engagement is this principle across different areas is knowing the boundary from like, hey, we're not married yet. So like spiritual intimacy. Emotional intimacy, financial intimacy, physical intimacy is knowing that, hey, we are not married yet, but we're not dating. So we're in the process of being married. So like we're in this.
Well, that's what I said earlier is like the prepare
phase,
for it,
right?
But you can't do it yet.
Mm-hmm. And how if we're not on the same page of what that looks like, then we can have different expectations of what that boundary is.
Yeah.
And that's been something we've been learning and figuring out. But then when you're married, there's no more like, oh, hey, this is probably too far here with either being spiritually intimate or whatever. Yeah. Like, hey, this is too far here, or I may think it's not too far. You may think it is, vice versa. But then when you're married, like those boundaries are no longer existent and to where everything is open.
I'm very like hyper focused. I feel like to where I'm like in the emotional intimacy thing, I remember being like, well, I can't overshare and I don't want to over push my emotion on him and tell him like everything I'm feeling and break down like cry in front of Josh. Like, I don't want to do that because like we are not one. Like, I am not to put that burden on him for him to carry, or he's not the person I go to for that. Like, that shouldn't be it. But then I'm also like, well, then how do I slowly start getting open with you and not just like letting out the floodgates and like, yeah. I don't know, it's just so hard of like both of those things. And I know that like us figuring out like the spiritual intimacy part too has been confusing to say the least, of just trying to get that. But it's the whole entire thing of just prepare for it, but don't do it. But there's literally going to come a time where it just like boom,
yeah,
let it rip, like everything.
let it rip.
But like, it's just so weird of like, you have to just prepare for everything. I also think it's going to be weird like living with somebody. We go over to Josh's house and we clean his room a lot for date days.
My room's not that messy. Can't
help me. I'm joking. And so the hard part of engagement is like learning each other's lifestyle and preparing for that. So then whenever you guys do move in together, it's not just like a Kaylee, you have 18 makeup products on the counter every single morning. Like, you already know it's going to be like that.
This is true.
So like just preparing for that aspect, I guess.
Yeah. And then so pivoting a little bit, bringing some biblical wisdom into this is having that self-control and that discipline to prepare, right? Because I think engagement, there's a lot of that first part, hey, butterflies. Oh, hey, he just proposed, dream proposal. Like, this is beautiful. And it still is beautiful. There's still butterflies, 1,000%. But then you're seeing the other side of that coin, of the practicality of, like, preparing to live together, finances, spiritual stuff, physical stuff, like the practicality. And if couples or people don't have either the maturity to navigate those conversations,
yeah,
a lot of stuff can go south really quick, right? Just you and I, right? We've had to have conversations to where if we didn't know how to communicate with each other just out of respect, like, hey, I don't like it when you say this, or I do like it when you do this. Like, if we both did not know how to, or were curious enough to learn how to navigate those tough conversations, then it puts a pause on everything else. Like, through that practicality stuff, and you're talking about bank accounts, and you're talking about living together, and you're planning a wedding. Hey, should we invite Susie or Tom? I don't know, but I love Susie and you love Tom, right? So navigating those tough conversations, conflict resolution, anything like that, if that is something you can learn how to do, and it is a skill, like, don't be like, oh, hey, I just suck at talking to people, I can never learn. Like, it is a skill you can learn and grow in, to navigate tough conversations, or even, like, not physically tough, just emotionally tough and emotionally heavy conversations. I'm not saying we're the best at it by any means, but we're curious to continue to learn how to do that. And do it the best we can to treat each other with respect and honor. So if you don't, if you're out there and you're listening right now and you don't know how to navigate tough conversations, whether if it's a physically tough, emotionally heavy, and being able to communicate that while treating that other person with respect and honor, then a lot of stuff can go south really quick.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is a little bit of like a what I wish I knew, I guess, before too. It's like I tried to make sure, like, emotionally and everything like that, like past, I wouldn't say trauma, but past relationships and all that, like, that wouldn't play into it. And I was so big on trying to make sure, you know, like, you're in your singleness era, like, work on yourself. Something I didn't focus on more that I wish I would have is, like, being very comfortable in conflict resolution. And I've grown in it between, like, me and you, but I could just see a little bit lighter of, like, having that already prepared a little bit better.
Yeah.
And not being afraid of conflict and being a little bit more open to it. Would have helped a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, in that beginning of just working through a lot of things, especially with, I think we were dating for, like, 2-3-ish months.
3 months.
3 months engaged, and then we'll have, like, a 6-month engagement and then married. So I think number one thing is that I didn't like in the engagement stage is, like, going through conflict, but, like, you're learning, and you should go, like, you should learn it, and you should go through it, but I do just wish I would have been more comfortable with it before going in. So then I wouldn't, like, run from conflict.
Yeah. So anybody out there listening, practice solving conflict right now. Because it's a great skill to learn and to grow in, for sure. Gosh, yeah, that's a big piece. Any other hard parts about being engaged? Planning a wedding is a very big practical one that a lot of engagement people.
Napkins and the goblet, please.
I would also say the hardest part about being engaged, is that you're not married and you're not dating. So, like, you're like, what are we? And then, like, how do you, I don't know. It's kind of, it's weird, but great at the same time.
Yeah. The big one on the table, I feel like, that everyone thinks about and asks about is, like, the physical aspect of it. And that, like, we touch base on, like, the boundary part of, like, create the boundaries. And I think something we did very early on was, like, you create, like, the boundaries of where they're at, where things are kind of, like, this is a gray period, how do you overcome that? But I mean, it still is, like, a hard part of engagement is, like, understanding that there's gonna be those temptations, but understanding, like, what you need to do to, like, not feed into the temptation, I guess. So that's always gonna be, like, there in that engagement stage, because you're leading up to it again. You're told to prepare, and then one day it's going to be like, boom, free, go ahead. But, like, right now it's like, don't do it, be careful, all of that stuff. So that obviously
got me nervous.
That obviously is, like, a hard area to navigate with an engagement. But I think, again, like, the not sleeping over and all of that has been really, really good.
Yeah, and this can be so, I mean, it is countercultural, right? If you look at other relationships, non-biblical relationships.
Oh my, yes. Everyone at work, I'm sorry, but all, like, my whole entire work, when they're like, you're getting married, and they're like, you don't live together? And they're like, why don't you guys live together? They're like, you haven't had sex before you get married? I'm like, no. And they're like, well, what if you don't like him? And I'm like, well, I do. So it's good. You know, but continue.
Yeah. You got to be willing to, well, I guess be countercultural. And if your faith is not deeply rooted, like if you have a very shallow faith, like, hey, I just show up on church on Sundays and that's really it, me and God, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of depth there, then it can be very easy to fall into what culture says, right? You're at work and your friends ask you, hey, why haven't you guys have sex? Why aren't you guys living together while you're engaged to see if you like it or not? Like, you guys should do it. Then you'll start taking advice from what the world says on how to navigate this. And the next thing you know, you are having sleepovers, you're living together solely because you started to take advice from the world and not having depth to your relationship with God. So I think it's super countercultural. Seeing that across the board and everything with physical stuff, living together or cohabitating, mashing your finances together. Finances is a big piece. Like, hey, let's just merge our bank accounts now. Or you're married and then you don't even touch your bank accounts. And you have two separate things and you live two separate lives. But all that can be resolved. Having a deep, deep faith, having a lot of depth to it. So you can have self-control, discipline. You can communicate well with other people and honor mm-hmm. that person, respect that person. You can forgive that person a lot, right? Matthew 6:14, that as Christ forgives us, we forgive other people. That includes your fiance, that includes your soon-to-be husband, your wife. That's even me. Like, I need a lot of forgiveness. I'm speaking to myself, right? To be able to, but you can't extend forgiveness, you can't extend grace if you don't know the depth of it for yourself on mm-hmm. why you've been forgiven and why you have grace. So now you must extend that to other people and people just in general, right? But the first one being the one you're going to be married to, mm-hmm. And not right. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, love keeping no record of wrongs. That hey, we're in this thing and it's to win it, that there are no records of wrongs. I do forgive you. Like, we had this conversation yesterday, right? Anytime something does come up, like the big umbrella things, just reaffirming, like, hey, relationally, yeah, we're
step
good.
Step one, reaffirm,
yeah, like, hey, we're good relationally,
yeah.
Now we still need to talk about this and work through this, but just know, looking 30,000 feet up, mm-hmm. like, we're good.
Yeah.
So that's been another big piece to being engaged.
Yeah, see, this one I feel, yeah, titled Struggles of Engagement.
Yeah.
Is the preparation of oneness, but not the action of oneness in engagement. And yeah. I feel like we were talking about this the other day too, is like with the three strand stuff, is like, how can I work as a team with him and by his side with him in engagement? But then prepare for us to work as one in marriage, though.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just, that's the whole entire complicatedness, is like the preparing to move as one, but don't do it yet.
Yeah.
And like, there's so many things, like I said, in ministry and finances and all of that, that we're trying to make way with. But specifically in like the ministry aspects, is like, how can I assist, but not take on
mm-hmm.
completely? Mm-hmm. Because again, I am a person with a job and a career, and we're not at that stage yet. But what do we do to prepare for that? Like, no one hands you like a book.
Here's the playbook.
Dude, we should make a book.
I've been wanting to write a book.
Yeah.
Let the guy who failed English write the book.
And the guy who doesn't want to send good morning text.
Yeah, probably not the best person to write a book. But there is. I mean, and this goes back to, if you don't have a deep faith, there yeah. is no playbook, right? There is no, turn to your Bible to chapter, 11. Here's the engagement playbook. Here's the dating playbook.
Then how long were they betrothed in the Bible? Like,
how long was the betrothal period?
Yeah.
However long it took for the son mm-hmm. or the husband to prepare for the wife. Like, so they would build, like the son, for example, me and you were back in Bible times, I would go to my parents' house. And I would, if I was living with my parents, I would build a separate room for us to live in that was attached to the house. So then however long it took me to build that room for us to live in, then I would come back and say, hey, look, I got the room ready. And then we would come and consecrate the room.
Oh.
So that betrothal period, and that goes back to Jesus coming back. Like, he has prepared a room for us. Like, he is coming back for his bride. For that perfect marriage, like, Jesus has gone and prepared a room for us, and that's referring to the Jewish cultural weddings, that the man would go and prepare like a bedroom, the living space for him and his wife, and then mm-hmm. when that room was ready, he would come back to get his bride. Same way Jesus in heaven right now, he has a room prepared for us, and then there'll be a day where he comes back to bring us to him, because he has that room prepared for that perfect marriage.
Oh, wow.
So right now, so really, I should be building like a shed in our backyard for us to live in.
Forget buying a house. Mom, Dad, we're building a shed in your backyard.
We're gonna build a shed in the backyard and just have like a little tarp to connect the houses.
Oh, my.
Oh, that'd be good. Well, appreciate you guys hopping on today. Hopefully, if anything, you just opened up to the insights of our engagement. If you are engaged right now, just know you're not alone going through those struggles, going through those temptations, those burdens, those tough conversations. And know it's okay, right? It's human to navigate that and walk through that. I would encourage you to continue to remind each other that, hey, we're in it to win it. Relationally, we're good, and there's still stuff to work through, but do that through a deep-rooted faith. If you're not engaged right now, I would encourage you to prepare yourself in all aspects that you can through navigating conflict and not being afraid from it, but being able to communicate well, to honor others well.
Emotionally, financially.
Do everything you can so when that moment comes,
start building your shed.
So when that moment comes, you're not having to play from behind, if you will. But with all that said, peace out, guys. Peace, love, happiness. Welcome to the Stranded Podcast. Our desire is to help you not be stranded. When you navigate life, you have many decisions you need to make to set yourself up for the best life possible. We want to help you make every decision by looking through the lens of the Word of God. So each episode here is going to help you not be stranded to navigate your life.